Testing, testing, please.
Back from the dead. Back from the dead. We've been on a 1 week hiatus still.
Yeah.
And look what happened. We're gone a week, and Trump wins the presidency.
Sorry, America.
Like, we're recording this.
Election
we're recording
night.
This on election night. It's 10 p.m. Pacific time. And the polls aren't yet in, but it is it's looking like like our hombre Donald Trump is going to be president. We won't talk politics because we'll keep this sports oriented, but I cannot believe it that Trump won. That's all I have to say.
Hey dude,
big upset.
Or I don't know actually if it was a big upset. Maybe the.
But like no, it was a big like even, like what do you mean? It wasn't a big upset.
Like, well, I guess he had like one path to winning, and Hillary had like a lot of paths to winning, and he won his one path. And dude, I don't know. Great run campaign.
I guess, man, just hats off to Donald, man.
Let's hope he can make America great again.
Let's hope he does. Let's hope he does. It looks like Pennsylvania is leaning even more towards Trump. Hey, let's hope he makes America great again. The sun will rise again, as Obama said. The sun will rise again. Like, it'll be good. All right, Dill. We're here to talk a little MLB.
MLB.
A great World Series. We're going to talk about that.
Probably top 10 of all time.
So last time we did this pod, do you remember what the series was set at?
1-1.
It was 1-1.
Yeah.
And I predicted Cleveland, and you predicted the Cubs. And it looked good for a while for me.
And then I sent you a text, which I remember. I said, Indians need to win game five, because if the Cubs score first in game six, which they did in the first inning, it was a whole new series.
And you were right. I think once the Cubs went to Cleveland, there was a sense of, like, they didn't have the pressure on them. I feel like the pressure of Chicago, of, like, lifting that curse in Chicago,
was just too much.
Was almost too much. Their bats just choked. Like, they kind of tight butthole just tightened up a lot. And once they got to Cleveland, like, who would have thought that we would be sitting here saying that the Cubs not having home field advantage for the playoffs would be an advantage? Right? Like I feel like everyone's, like, kind of pissed at the All-Star game. And in the end, like, I feel like it almost played to their advantage to play in Cleveland.
I think that the advantage that the Cubs got was in their rotation. They had four solid guys, and the Indians had one solid guy, and then two guys who were, like, decent starters.
So you said...
And Tomlin had a good first game, but, you know, he's throwing... Like, he's not... He's kind of like just a junk baller, like, you know, not really, not great stuff, not overpowering. So I think that he just got in the head of the Cubs hitter, and they were just, you know, 4 days later, he comes back, and he's still not, you know, overpowering, and they're just like, see ya.
So you're going that pitching depth was, you know, the ultimate,
it
was too much of a burden on the Indians to just tax Miller and that bullpen that much by not having Carrasco and Salazar ready to go.
Yeah, I just think that the adjustments the Cubs made, like against Kluber the seventh game, against Bauer both times, and then against Tomlin in game six when they got to him in the first inning, I think that...
Kluber got hit around.
Yeah, he didn't look good.
Like, so we'll go through game seven. Just one thing, Do you think that if the Indians had Salazar and Carrasco...
Yeah, they would have won.
You think so?
They would have won, yeah. Because I think that I gave a huge starting pitching advantage to the Cubs. And
when you look at that rotation between Lester, Arrieta, and Hendricks, and then you throw Lackey on there as well, like,
yeah,
would Lackey have been the two starter for the Indians?
Oh yeah, 100%.
So like, if it's that big of a discrepancy, like that's almost too big of a hole to climb, and yet they're one game away from winning it all. Like, a great season for the Indians, I would have
to
say.
Yeah, I they shouldn't have been there. And I kind of feel bad because the Cubs are, like, this is dynasty, man.
Like they were the best team all year. But, like no San Francisco Giants nonsense coming in. Like, they were the storyline all year, and they won.
And like, the next 5 years, they might still be the best team. Because they got Bryant. They got Contreras. They got Rizzo. They got Addison Russell. They got Javi Baez, and like
I'm not high on Javi Baez,
but still, like,
but he's still like
they can trade him for something,
and they still have the best defensive right fielder in the game. He's going to get you like 2 to 3 wins on defense alone, even though his swing is literally horrible. Bill.
I
his swing is bad.
It's like
Jason Hayward just
cannot. It's kind of just like a chop.
He just pulls off the ball and pulls everything foul every single time. But still, even with that, like.
Yeah.
Like, he's still... they have Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, okay. Like, I feel like Kyle Schwarber, like, can't play. Like, they have so many outfielders. Okay, because if they have Javi Baez at second base, that means Zobrist needs to be in the outfield. That's one spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then they have... I guess that they might lose Fowler. But they have Soler. They have Schwarber. They have Almaro Jr., and Zobrist. I feel like they have another guy, but still, like, I feel like...
Yeah, no.
And Jason Hayward, that's who I'm missing.
Yeah.
So they have Jason Hayward in left, or right,
right,
and then they have Zobrist in left every day. Where is...
Schwarber going to play?
Where is Schwarber playing?
He's playing in the American League, hitting dingers. That's where he's playing.
And then, like, Almaro's, like, can you move Jason Hayward to center?
He can play center.
He can, but, like, I feel like he's not, like, he's not as elite as a center fielder as
he's
the
still
other
an,
fielder.
He still would be an elite defender in center, definitely. The guy's a stud defensively.
Okay, well.
But regardless.
They just have a spoil of riches.
Yeah, why can't...
Like, that offense is going to be, like... And they have money to burn. Like, they have, like, a top five, like, they're always ready to spend money.
That team is just sitting pretty. That team's sitting very pretty.
And then on the flip side, the Indians, like, I'm just like, I don't think that team, like...
You don't think the stars align...
Again.
...this year like they did... Or, like, next year and going forward like they did this year.
Like, you know, Boston's going to be so good.
Like, yeah.
They they're kind of like the Cubs of the AL in, like, lineup-wise. They have the 3Bs. They have Bradley Jr. They have Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts. All studs. All of them studs. Like Mookie Betts is probably going to win the MVP this year.
They have Benintendi.
They have
the ready. They have Yoan Moncada.
They have the, you know...
They have Hanley Ramirez, who had a comeback season.
Yeah, and you know, they'll probably sign a big free agent. Maybe they'll get Edwin Encarnacion to take...
Do you think he'd play first?
No.
The first DH?
DH.
Who would play first? Hanley?
Hanley.
And then play Travis Shaw?
And yeah, but they're going to get Pablo Sandoval back next year. And Pablo Sandoval, like, is a really good MLB player.
You're right.
And then don't they have, like... I feel like they have, like, a big lefty in, like... Barnes, isn't that a person?
Barnes?
I feel like that's one of their...
Barnes?
I think that's
Harrison
one of their...
Barnes? Are we talking about the Dallas Mavericks right now?
I think that they have a, like, a top... No, Owens, maybe. Okay.
I feel like these are random names.
They have a really... They have, like, a top 10 lefty in the game. And so, I don't know. But I feel like pitching-wise, you know, they have Porcello, they have Price... Two pretty big names, and you know, Boston has plenty of money. They'll probably go get another starter.
They'll be good.
I feel like there's just like, I guess I just don't see the potential for the Indians. Like, Lindor is amazing, but like, I just don't think it's a supporting cast. Like, do you think Jose Ramirez is still gonna be like hitting 300+.
Even if like Jose Ramirez, Kipnis, like Chisenhall, Naquin,
like all
those guys hit.
Like,
with
they're young, but like they just don't have the same pull to me that all the Cubs guys do.
No, like yeah, the Cubs are definitely set up just for the long haul better than the Indians. I think the Indians are still be a playoff team though.
Yeah, because I think the NL Central is weak. Like the Tigers are way past their prime.
Yeah, they're trying.
I don't know if the Royals, you know, after those two straight World Series runs, I don't know how much they got left in the tank. The White Sox, if they're a freaking mess.
So
and the Twins.
So this Game 7
was one for the ages,
but not better or better or the same as the 2001 Game 7 in Arizona with Luis Gonzalez jam sandwich shot into literally the cut of the grass over Derek Jeter. I would say that game and that series was better overall, or am I biased?
I think that game was better just because it was a walk-off and it was against the Yankees. Like, there's nothing better in sports than beating the Yankees.
No, yeah, that is true.
Mariano Rivera on the mound, the best closer of all time. Like
I realized when I look back and watch that video again, like, the announcer calls it. Like, he's like, Mariano Rivera's cutter, like, is going to cut into Gonzalez, and, like, that's going to lead to a lot of broken short singles, like, over the infield. And then, like, the next pitch it happened.
Yeah.
Like, great series. But let's walk through Game 7.
Okay.
Because it is fantastic. My Wi-Fi went out here.
Mid-game?
Since I have poo Wi-Fi here in my new room. We're recording this in a new studio.
Yeah,
and by studio, I mean my apartment room. And so I had to Skype in to my girlfriend, Brenna. I had a FaceTime in to Brenna, and then Brenna put me on her laptop, and I watched the game through her laptop. That's how it went down.
Well, it was won. Like, you know, that leadoff home run by Dexter
Fowler.
Fowler
hits the leadoff home run. I feel like Madden and Francona both had bad managerial games. Like, I feel like neither of them had a good game. I feel like they relied too heavily on Miller and Chapman, who were gassed.
Bringing in Lester was
like in the middle of the innings, Kendrick was rolling.
Yeah, like that when he got that when he got the third strike, that was literally right down the middle, and the ump just called the ball. Why'd you pull him after that? Like, what'd you see in that bat?
Yeah,
that makes you want to bring in Lester. I guess the lefty's on the mound, but or the lefty's coming up the plate, but it's like,
and now Contreras, is gone, and you got to put David Ross in, but he comes back and hits a bomb. This game had so many back and forth moments.
Well, it didn't really have very many back. Like it, you
it,
know,
it was always
the
I
Indians,
guess not back and forth. It was
the
Cubs
scored.
Would pull it. Yeah,
yeah. Like the Cubs scored first, then the Indians tied it, and the Cubs just went up 6-1, and it was just like, you know,
like mail it in. Cubs
wrote.
Got it.
Like,
and then Rajay Davis.
Who saw that coming?
No one.
Like,
just like this election.
I was so rattled when I saw that. Like, I was just like, oh my god, the Indians might win.
Like, I cannot believe that.
Like, and then watching LeBron, do the...
Did LeBron jinx the Cleveland Indians?
I don't know. I feel like LeBron stole the magic.
He took all the magic for himself, you're saying. He's greedy. He's greeting in his magic.
Like, Cleveland got a championship. I don't know which team they wanted to get a championship more, but, like, you can't... I feel like you can't have a, you know... It's fitting that they won a series down 3-1
and
lost a series up 3-1.
Yeah, karma. It all evens out. It all evens out in the end. So, and then Zobrist comes up.
Schwarber, though, and then the rain delay. I'm convinced if the rain delay does not happen, that the Indians win that game.
So if they keep playing,
They're just shell-shocked.
Just like
I just think they're shell-shocked.
Uncle Mo, just momentum.
Yeah.
All with the Indians. Cubs can't believe it. They go. They start thinking. They're like, yeah. Oh, here we go again. Here we go again. They call the rain delay. Who called like a meeting? Was it Jason Hayward?
Yeah, Jason Hayward.
Calls a meeting. Gets everyone back on topic. Like, yeah, keeps them like, from getting rattled. Like, Aroldis Chapman was crying.
Yeah.
Like, he was crying. That's like, that was the state of that locker room.
Yeah, and no, then I just feel like it was like a timeout. It was like a perfectly planned timeout for the Cubs.
We're taking a full. It was like, oh, the Warriors just hit like three straight threes. Like Curry's feeling it. Like, and then you just call a timeout. Like, and it's just like, all right, you know, we're icing these guys. Like,
yeah.
Like these guys are hot.
Or like right before the kicker's about to kick a field goal at the end of the half.
Yeah,
like you call just a timeout.
Icing it. Just like, icing this guy. Yeah. Like. Keep momentum, like switch things up.
Yeah, like, and that's what they did, because then it was the top of the 10th, and like, you know, the Indians probably still felt good, but, you know, they're kind of, you know, getting cold, you know, have to rewarm back up, mm-hmm. but like, you know, they're probably still amped from coming back, but like, it allowed the Cubs to be able to, like, you know, once Schwarber got that hit to lead off, then it was like, oh, all right, here we go, and then like, so I think that if it would have been in Chicago and Cleveland would have come up first, I think it would have been a totally different game.
I think, but in the end, the Cubs' riches and their wealth of talent just wasn't enough. Like was just too much for the Indians.
Yeah.
Like that. This team is really, really good.
Yeah. The Indians had, I'd say, three great players, like Kluber, Lindor, and Miller. Like, I guess Allen too, but like, I'd say those big three like kind of carried them.
Yeah, I agree.
And I feel like Cleveland just kind of, I feel like they were just doing like kind of like tricks and stuff. Like, Moneyball at its finest here. Like, they were like, you know, they had Brandon Guyer come in against the lefty.
That guy reeks lefties.
Yeah, like, so
he's
good.
So good.
And then, you know, they I don't know. I just feel like they have Chisenhall against righties, and he hits, like, 300-plus. Like, and then, like, Rajay Davis starting him over Naquin in the Game 7. He hits the two-run home run. Like, I just felt like, you know, like, Terry McCord had, like, this perfect kind of managing of the game.
So you don't think this loss hurts Francona's, like, Hall of Fame chances?
I think it makes it even better. There's no way that team should, like...
should have even been in that situation.
Like, they shouldn't even gotten there.
Francona is, yeah, they is a Hall of Famer, and Madden is also a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, okay. Cleveland was worse than Boston. Like, without a doubt. Mm-hmm.
Cleveland was also worse than Toronto.
Yeah, like... worse pitching and like probably a worse offense, worse than the Cubs, but it's like it's not about who. Like the best team doesn't always win. In this case, they did. The Cubs won.
Yeah,
but
Cubs win.
Yeah,
Cubs win. I cannot believe I just seeing that live was, it was like exhilarating.
The video of Chris Bryant getting the final out and him starting to smile.
He's like smiling. He knows like
that was one of the coolest moments like I've ever seen.
If that was me, I would have been like, "Don't fuck it up, don't fuck it up," and then I would have airmailed it. I would have like thrown it into the stands.
And then Anthony Rizzo like pocketed that ball. Did you see the worth of it?
What was it?
$3 million.
What do you mean he like? Doesn't that go to someone?
No, he gets to keep it.
What do you mean he gets to keep
it? He's pocketed it.
He's not going to sell it, though, is he?
No, but it's just his. But I'm saying if it were to be sold, like, it was priced at $3 million.
I'm just reading text from Brenna. She's a little distraught.
Oh, poor Brenna.
Yeah. She'll live.
Yeah.
But incredible game. Incredible series. Does this help baseball?
I think it does.
You think it does? You think a Cubs dynasty is good for baseball as a whole?
I think that, like, not to be, like, I really like a lot of the Indians players, but, like, I feel like just them with Wahoo kind of, like, kind of like, you know, made it us against the world kind of, like Cleveland versus everybody kind of.
Yeah, like I didn't like that whole, like, narrative.
I'm just like, Cleveland, it's like, get over it.
Like, it's like, everybody likes you now. Like, why are you, like, putting up this persona, like, it's like, oh, man, like no one, like, no one believes in us, man. It's like, we like you.
Yeah, it's just like, you guys, we don't think you're going to win. Like, you shouldn't win.
It's not because we have anything against Cleveland.
Yeah.
Like why do they take it as, like, a vote of confidence against Cleveland?
Yeah, but I think that for the MLB, the right team won. Like, just that, watching that parade.
Oh, my God, they're, like, 100 deep.
Yeah, they were...
all, like, for 8 miles.
Like, the seventh largest congregation of people in the history of mankind.
Like, but that, like, but like, does
that moment transcends sports.
But, like, what does gathering mean? Like,
I don't know. I don't, it, like,
does,
group of people.
Does New York City not count as a gathering of people?
But, like, but they're not all going to, like, the same place. They're not all there to see the Cubs parade.
But, like, but the parade basically went through Chicago, right?
But I think they meant, like, that when they're on the podium at the end.
There's 5 million people there?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. I'm not, like...
I need you to count each of one of those.
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
Like, we'll
even...
eventually have to do in this election. Yeah. I don't know why I'm keep going back. We need to count it by hand. I need you to go, like, out to Chicago and count every person that was there. Look at video evidence.
Like, that was one of the craziest. Like, I was in Wrigleyville
awesome.
After the Cubs won the NLCS.
Still jealous about that.
And I can't even imagine what it was like. Like, that's why the only reason I picked the Cubs to win in 5, which is because I really wanted to see it them win it in Chicago. Like, I literally thought that city was gonna burn. Like, it probably would have just shut down.
But like it's still shut down.
But I'm saying, like, right after the game, like, I like, people were crying. Like, those Cubs fans were crying.
Yeah.
And they won.
Tears of joy, my friend.
Like, I can't imagine being, like, those 80-year-old people who are just, like, you know, like, do you see the video of, like, the 80-year-old guy? Like,
he's like, I've literally waited my entire life.
And then he's
life.
Just like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Like, literally, he's 80 years old. And he's rooted for
his
one team.
His feeble mind just can't wrap around the fact that the Cubs are actually good.
Yeah, like, I just, it was just awesome to see.
And it was a great.
Cleveland has, you know, they won the championship earlier, and they got LeBron still. So, like, I don't feel bad
guess,
for them.
Guess who the guess what the longest drought falls on now?
Who?
The Arizona Cardinals.
Does it?
The Cardinals. The Cardinals. But it also transfers back when they were in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So that franchise, 69 years, or 67, I don't know. But it's the longest that now. That's the longest drought. So, and I don't think they're winning that that this year at all. So, so congrats to the Cubs. An incredible, and just incredible, like, not even just like MLB World Series, but just an incredible event in human.
Yeah, just like everyone human, will remember.
Yeah,
like that moment.
Truly, truly fantastic. So we talked about the MLB. I think I'm gonna try and keep this as brief as possible, just for my sake.
Yeah.
So we're gonna talk about the was this the worst loss in U of A football history, Dylan? If not, like, I want to know what was worse.
That game was just set up. Like, it felt like I literally knew that this game was gonna be tough. And everyone doubted me. Everyone was like, oh, Washington lost to Eastern Washington. And I'm just like, Washington State's good. Like, they can throw the ball. And their defense wasn't that bad against us. But our defense could not stop them. Like, literally.
And by could not stop them, you mean literally. Like, we cannot emphasize this enough. Like, they literally.
They scored.
Could not stop them. Like, once.
They scored 9 touchdowns and had 2 field goals. That's 11 scoring drives.
How many drives do they have in the game?
Like, I can't remember them punting. They probably did once. But, and we scored 7 points. And that was our boy Cam Denson. That was a nice catch by Cam.
Cam Denson.
Yeah.
Cam Denson.
It was bad. It was just bad. Like our secondary is just trash. Like we can't have them throwing balls against us because they're just gonna be wide open because our guys can't cover anything. It's so like, you know, their receivers are always going to be open. Every third and five, whenever we get there, they'd get it. They'd just be like, oh, wide open guy. Like, pass interference. Like, I'm just like, I watched it all, and it was at some point, I just like got to the point where I was like, all right, here we go. Hopefully it's better next year. Because that was a game that officially ended our chance of going to a bowl game.
So, we don't win a game rest of the year, right? I just don't know how you
ASU.
Mentally come back.
ASU.
I don't know how you can mentally come back from a loss like that. Like, I feel like if you're in the locker room and you say, you look at the scoreboard and it's 69-7, you say to yourself, we're a sorry-ass team. We are no good.
Like
the season's already written off.
I don't think we'll beat Colorado.
No.
I don't
Not when they have so much to play for.
I don't... Maybe we'll beat Oregon State, like... I feel like they're kind of on par with us, but they also put up, like, points against Washington State. And then at ASU, or no, sorry, it's in Tucson against ASU, I think we can win that game just because I was looking up because I wanted to see if we had the worst defense in the country. But turns out ASU has, like, the second worst defense in the country.
That's impossible.
So
I don't believe
that. They give up tons of yards, like more than we do. They give up more yards than we do.
I find that must be just a rounding error. I find that impossible.
Like, I guess those games against BYU really came in the clutch for us, and like Hawaii and Grambling State really saved our ass. Because every single game we've played in the Pac-12, we've given up more than 30 points. I think 34 was our lowest. I think we've given up more than 450 yards in every single game. Washington State even had more than 100 yards rushing against us.
Just bad. Just embarrassing. So that's all I want to talk about in terms of...
Yeah, we might get one.
In terms of football. But Dylan, our favorite time of the year is coming up. It's upon us still. A team that will actually win some games.
Well, knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
If we can field a team.
So, it's time to talk about Arizona basketball. So.
Listen, yeah, I took over one of the Milken is the mathematics building at Pomona.
Why'd you have to extend math to mathematics?
I don't know. I couldn't think of the next word, so I had to. Stall.
It's stall. Good tactic.
So I took over one of the classrooms, threw down a projector, and was just watching NFL, like, without sound on, like, a huge projector, and I had the Chico State game on in front of me.
Hey, Brandon, whenever you listen to this, I just want to remind you that I dominated you in fantasy football this week. Oh, dominated. Yeah. I put up numbers. Absolute numbers. All right, continue.
And so I was watching the game. I was studying with a friend, so I didn't want, like, to play the sounds. I had headphones, so I don't know why I didn't put those in, but, you know, I was just watching Lowry, my boy Lowry.
I'll get to Lowry in a second. So, I pulled out my trusty yellow notepad, just like I took notes for the first U of A football game, and didn't take any notes after that because this team is garbage. I took some notes on the U of A basketball team. My first impressions, one might say, on the basketball team. All right, so I'm going to run through them. Some will be good. Most of them will be questions, because, this team has a lot of question marks. Alonzo Trier will not travel to the Michigan State game.
Okay, you want to hear what I heard about what's going on with him?
Do tell.
Okay, I heard that he has asthma, and he was prescribed he was using some sort of, you know,
ointment
or drug.
The old snake oil.
I don't really know what, like, you know, what he got caught with or what, like, I don't know if he's injecting himself with something or, like, you know, it's like an oral steroid or something. but so he was taking something for his like asthma that was okay on the list at U of A, but not on the NCAA. So if that's
how
true,
can U of A let that happen?
So if that's true, U of A screwed Trier.
Like, how can you let that happen?
Someone's getting fired.
Like, how are the lists not exactly the same? How can your list be different than what really matters?
So I heard that, and I hope that that is true, maybe, and that the NCAA is just like, you know, if it's like for asthma and it's like, you know, a corticosteroid.
I hope they give a slide. Like, if that's the case, what do they suspend him for? Like, they don't suspend him for the whole season.
Hopefully not.
So Alonzo Trier will not be going. All right. So I'm going to begin. Question, Dylan.
Yep.
I pose this as a question on my notepad. Will we have enough rim protection this year?
Yeah.
I don't think we will. Dušan Ristić cannot jump.
Okay.
He glides. Like, he's a ground-based player, Dylan. The man cannot jump.
I don't think rim protection is necessarily you blocking shots. I think that, you know, you can be in the right place. Like, I feel like Zeus was a rim protector, but he didn't block a lot of shots. He was just in the right place, you know. Perfect defense.
I just feel like Chico State, which is actually a really good team. Like, yeah. I was surprised at how good they were. Like, they're going to, in whatever California conference they're in, they're going to do good. I feel like they were just shooting over us. Like, Ristić and Lowry, like, they would put their hands up, but they would just shoot right over us.
I don't think we'll be as good defensively, but offensively. That Dušan Lowry... Like, Dušan
was gentle, ever so gentle around the rim.
And then, like, Lowry can extend it to the three-point line. Like, that gives Dušan room to work.
I'm just going to say this. Like, Lowry looks like an NBA player, like, right now.
He's so good.
Like,
I see
him on the court. He's jacked. His arms are huge. Two, he's better than everyone else on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, he scored 19, and I feel like the guy took 4 shots.
Yeah, like, he's just so efficient. Like, he was hitting threes.
Like, the guy's going to be a lottery pick.
Yeah.
Like, the guy should be in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's the best player on our team, even with Alonzo Trier on the floor.
Maybe.
Oh, he is. He just is.
I'd argue.
That Alonzo Trier is better?
Yeah, I think Alonzo Trier would be a better player.
No.
We haven't seen him.
No.
Well, then
you shouldn't have asthma, okay? You shouldn't have asthma.
Looked so good at the red-blue game.
Trier did?
Yeah, Trier.
Well, I didn't see that then, so I can't really compare.
You haven't seen him since last year.
Lowry is better.
Okay.
I'm just saying Oregon is going to exploit us if we don't have any sort of rim protection, and also our rebounding was horrible.
Well,
couldn't rebound worth a damn.
I love Lowry and Dušan, but like, they're not tough. Like, I
no,
like they're like, I feel like they're just kind of like, you know, Europeans kind of get shown in this light of being soft, but like, these guys are soft.
They need to get some freaking boards out there, man.
So like, you know, I want to see the lineups that we're throwing out there. If we get in foul trouble at all. Like, it's going to be... I can't even...
Our depth is a big, big problem.
Okay, because they had a lineup out there where it was, like, Dušan, Markkanen, and Keanu Pinder. Like, I feel like those three players...
Oh, I like Pinder.
I like Pinder, too, but I feel like those three players cannot play together.
But they did, I feel.
But I feel like they should, like, either have... I feel like the Pinder, Markkanen... would be like the ideal.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
I feel like Dušan's gonna be forced into a lot of minutes that we don't really want him playing. Because there are some games where Shamler just has to take Dušan out. So that means we go 6 deep without him.
Tough.
And what are
tough.
We're starting Raleigh at the three.
Okay, so Raleigh. Wait, it's Raleigh.
Raleigh.
Raleigh. Okay.
I've talked to the man personally.
So Raleigh, looked bad.
It's his, like, you know, his second collegiate game.
It wasn't just the jitters. Like, the guy was horrible defensively. The guy, like, Raleigh lets guys, like, run right by him, and then he sticks his hands up and, like, follows him like it's doing anything defensively. Like, they already pass you, guy. Just try and sprint to catch up with them. Like, don't run with your hands up in the air.
Like, you don't know. I feel like defense isn't of the most concern for Raleigh when he was in high school and AAU.
No.
So, like, I feel like this is probably the first time he's ever been asked to, like, you know, get a defensive stance.
So you would expect
and, like,
him to be good offensively, but he wasn't. Like, his one skill is getting to the rim. Like, the guy was pulling up for, like, mid-range jumpers. I'm like, why are you doing that?
Okay, well, I actually have a question to ask now. Who on this team is going to space the floor? Markkanen?
That was the next thing on my list. Literally, like, it says enough shooting on this team? ? Literally, the next thing I was going to say. Like, it's going to be Lowry and Trier from the bench.
Like, they're just,
like maybe Trier will have some sort of gravitational pull from the bench. Like, that's it. It's Lowry and Trier from the
like,
bench.
I don't see Kobe Simmons shooting very well from the arc, behind the arc. I don't see Raleigh shooting very well from behind the arc. Maybe Kadeem Allen.
A little bit.
He was like, you know, I feel like he's one of those guys who can hit a three, but he doesn't like to take them a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be asked to. Parker, kind of, but I feel like he just doesn't have an offense.
He's more just, his duty is just kind of just running the offense. Like, so like he's not going to get that many, like,
Parker,
spot up shots.
Parker and Allen are going to have to, I don't know, make two or three threes a game. Like, those four guys I just named are going to have to make 3 to 4 threes a game to, like, even have a lane to try to exploit. They might just, like, have all five guys in the paint and be like, shoot a jumper. Are we hitting those jumpers?
No. Like, no, like, there's going to be a lot of zone run against us. Like there's going to be a lot of zone.
And it's
going to
be
lot of
ugly.
Zone.
Like,
I think Kobe Simmons is good.
Oh, he's like
defensively,
a super freak.
Defensively, he's the guy that Kadeem Allen, what I thought he was going to be defensively. Like, Kobe Simmons is, like, our best perimeter defender right now.
Did you see Sean Miller said that Kadeem Allen is the best defender he's ever coached?
I can see why, but, like, I don't, like, he has all...
Okay, but you can't take that away from Aaron Gordon. Like, Aaron Gordon is the best defender I've ever seen. That guy could guard a point guard. That guy could guard a shooting guard. That guy could guard a small forward. He guard a power forward. And, like, seamless. Like, literally, no drop-off.
No, he was the best defense player I've seen at the NBA in a long time.
Lateral,
like, from what I can remember. Maybe.
His lateral quickness was amazing.
No, yeah, he was a freak.
Like, him and Rondé, like, I don't know how people scored on us. Looking back.
They didn't.
They
didn't. We were the best defense in the country.
Oh my God.
They didn't score. Rondé was a beast.
Yeah. Another great defender.
So now that I've been shitting on us, I'm going to say things I like. That little backdoor screen that we run with the point guard where we lob it up.
We run that
two or three times with, like, PJC and Kadeem Allen every game, and it works every time. It's hilarious. I love it. Big fan of that. Let's see. Great from the line. I think we're going to be a really good free throw shooting team, which will help us in close games.
Yep.
We were really good from the free throw line. I don't see any glaring weaknesses in our free throw shooting.
Yeah, there's no Aaron Gordon.
There's no, even though Zeus did get better, we're going to be good from the line. Parker Jackson Cartwright looks like the guy who does NBA impressions. That's what I wrote down. He's like Brandon Adot. You know, that guy who does like the LeBron James, like James Harden, Russell Westbrook.
I think he looks like, I think that Jeremy Hill, the running back for the Cincinnati Bengals, is a fat version of him.
I'm looking up
like,
Jeremy
not,
Hill.
Like, not fat, because he's not fat, but I feel like he's like a super buff, like, Parker Jackson Cartwright. He's kind of has like, you know, the little mustache, like the little PGC mustache, like
Jeremy Hill. I'm looking it up. Oh, he kind of does. He kind of does. I see it.
Like, it's like, it's not perfect, but he kind of has like this sort of the same head shape. Well, actually, no, because PGC has that weird alien kind of, that, like, weird thing at the back, you know? I don't even know what that is. Like, does he have a bigger brain than us?
Yeah, yeah, he's got, like, a long, like, Kobe head. You know how Kobe had, like, a long head?
Yeah. But, so, you know, PGC's solid. You know, I just can't really see him scoring at the bucket. Like, I just think he's too small, but... He's a good facilitator. He's a good point guard.
Who's that guy who is like the first guy off the bench every time and goes to like slap everyone's hands and like is like really into slapping everyone's hands?
Who?
On the bench? No.
Huh?
Do we not know that? Not know his name? I'm going to look him up on the roster. I want to know
is
who
he
is.
Walk-ons?
Maybe. He's like the ultimate brown noser on the team.
Like, hey man, yeah, yeah.
He's like that guy, and I want to know who he is because I don't like him.
So that guy is probably every single team has a guy when like you know someone hits a big shot and it's at the end of the game and when he gets up and like holds everyone
he's
gonna be that guy. Like every like whenever there's a game, you never see two or three guys doing it. You always see one guy on the bench who's holding everyone back.
Holding them back,
and I feel like.
Like that's like, that guy. I'm looking him up.
Yeah,
Arizona basketball.
It's probably
roster.
Jake Desjardins.
Is it Dylan Smith?
Is he black?
No, he was white guy.
Dylan Smith's black.
Okay, so it can't be that. Is it Tyler Trillo?
No, he
was taller than that. It was definitely Jake. Desjardins. It was Jake Desjardins. That's who. Wait, I haven't seen a picture to confirm, but that's who it is. The name just screams brown noser.
Yeah, Desjardins.
Like Desjardins. Oh yeah, Dylan Smith is black. He's not a white.
Yeah, he's a transfer.
Jake Desjardins. He's the guy. Even his face screams it. He's from Henderson, Nevada. Like, look at that face. He's perfect for the role. He's perfect.
You know, we'll get him on the podcast next week.
Yeah. Right after I just said that I didn't like him because he was a brown noser. Yeah, that'll work out great.
He won't listen. Maybe
I feel like the unis are, like, really narrow at the top.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Do you notice that? Like, yeah. I'm looking at, like, the guys and they're, like, their undershirts are just look weird underneath it.
Yeah,
like they're really narrow,
like
around the shoulders.
I feel like they have like a European fit. I feel like that's a thing.
I don't know if I'm a fan.
They kind of had them on the USA Olympic jerseys too.
I guess. Yeah.
I think it's Nike's new. Have we talked about the new jerseys?
The ones for the game for the.
Well, just like all our new set of jerseys.
No. No, or did we? No, we did. We said we didn't, or you didn't like them.
I didn't like them.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Okay.
Yeah, we got that out of the way.
I like the ones for the game on Sunday or Saturday.
The ones against
the
Michigan State.
One?
Oh yeah,
the
those are good.
Ones?
I like those. Those, yeah. They're gonna get the job done. They're real nice. I like all of our like USS Arizona.
Yeah.
Like stuff
like,
that
like
looks good.
Gig'em or like it's Sick'em Arizona.
It's good. It's all good.
God.
I'm all in on those. Dylan, why do we jump when we're defending the inbound pass? Like, if you jump, then that just gives the inbounder just time to just...
Bounce it under you.
Just time it perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, why don't we just sit there with our long arms, look at his eyes, and then just, like, react?
I don't know.
Like, are we teaching them to jump on the inbound?
Has
that ever been a smart play?
No, because they're... You know, if they're underneath the basket, they're probably not throwing it deep. Like,
Like, I just don't know why we jump. Like, when they're coming out of, like, passing out of the sideline, like, why don't we just, like, stand there, like, with a really long guy with arm
down? Yeah, and then just make him throw it, like, make him, you know, throw it, like, far out and outside, you know, so that they can't get right into their whatever set they're trying to run. Like, it kind of, you know, allow our defense to, like, settle in.
I don't get it. Real quick, Bill Walton must call every game. That's what I wrote.
Bill Walton.
Just make it happen, Pac-12 Network.
I think that I forget how great he is.
The guy's hilarious. Everyone hates him.
I don't know why.
Everyone hates him. I don't understand why.
But like
the guy is hilarious.
He loves the game of basketball. He loves Arizona.
He's enthusiastic about life.
Like, yeah, it's just like
why would you fault a man for that?
And he makes, like, great puns and stuff. Like, that line last year when he's like, I studied biology on sorority row at UCLA. Like, you can't beat that line.
No.
Like, I'd much rather that. Like, I love the announcers who get into the game. Like, there's this guy who does football games. His name's Lewis Johnson. And he's like, yeah, let's go! Here we go! Like, he, like, yells all the time. And he's not the color guy. He's a play-by-play guy.
Oh, the play-by-play guy gets jacked, just fired up.
And I love it. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm into it. I'm into it with you, Gus. I just love announcers like that. Like, I hate, like, the dry guy. It's like, oh, yeah, you know,
What was that deal?
Like, you know, Steve Kerr, he was really good. He was a great announcer.
Steve Kerr is just good at everything.
Yeah, but...
The guy just wins. The guy just goes everywhere and just wins.
I don't know. I love announcers. Like, Hawk Harrelson, another great announcer. Because he's...
You gotta be bleeping me! Come on!
Like...
Another blown call by Angel Hernandez! Come on!
Like, just... Hawk Harrelson calls...
His homerism is blatant, and I love it.
If you guys out there haven't heard... Hawk Harrelson, go on YouTube and look up best of Hawk Harrelson. And don't look up, like, you know, him calling home runs. Look at him, look up his freakouts.
Like, he gets mad like nobody's business.
It's so funny. It's like, put it on the board! Yes! Yes!
And the good guys leave! It will! It will!
So, just a great, great announcer. I feel like he's like, when I first heard him, I thought he was a black dude.
But yeah, I could see that.
Well, I think it was because his name's Hawk. I feel like, I don't know. I just thought he was black, and I saw he's like an old white guy.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, all right.
Okay.
Doesn't change the fact that I love him.
True. So yeah, Bill Walton should call every game. My last point is... So Kadeem Allen is the only senior on this team besides Talbot, technically.
The Talbot's coming back.
So Kadeem Allen's the only senior on this team.
Yep.
So is he, like, do you, like, for us to exceed expectations, we need him to be like a TJ McConnell character, right? Like that senior leader who everyone can kind of rally around and kind of depend on and is kind of like, you know, the guy who writes the ship anytime, like, we steer off course or, you know, we're kind of in a slump. Like,
yeah.
Do you think that he's ready for that kind of senior leadership?
I think that the backcourt of him and PJC are going to be, like, the calming force. So, yes.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, like...
I disagree.
Like, last year, did you feel confident in the fact that Gabe York was like our kind of go-to guy?
No, of course not, which is why we exited in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Like
I was shitting on Gabe York the whole year, and I love Gabe York.
Yeah, like, I think that Kadeem Allen is, you know, he's kind of stayed the course. He was, like, the best player in, what division?
JUCO. Yeah, and he was, like, junior college.
And then he redshirted, and then his first year... That he actually played. He played out of position.
So you think that now that he's going to be shooting guard, that's more of his position?
Yeah, I feel like he's just like an ultimate team player. Like, he's going to, like, if Sean Miller's like, hey, you're starting at center today, he'd just be like, all right, I'm starting at center. Like, he's just kind of like that. That, like, you know, he probably, like, that definitely won't happen.
Give me a number. What's the chances that he starts at center for one game?
With our given roster, we might be starting Jake Dister-Deans at some point.
Jake Dister-Deans!
At this point, with, you know, Ray Smith out for the year and retiring from basketball. Talbot Denny out for the year. And then Alonzo Trier out for the year, I guess, right now. I don't know. I think it's like in the...
Chance Comanche
until he out.
Starts studying.
Yeah,
or,
so like...
Or showing up to classes.
So that's four guys. And the answer to your previous question, the rim protecting, the answer is Chance Comanche. When Chance Comanche comes back. Because that guy can
contest.
Can guard. That dude was so good.
Yeah.
Like, he can't do really anything offensively. He's kind of the prototypical NBA center right now. He can defend, and he can
and
catch
just,
lobs.
And just drive to the hoop and just catch lobs.
That's it. That's all you need to do. He can defend. He can, you know, guard the pick and roll. He can, like, defend, like, meet people at the rim, block shots. I think he'll have a productive NBA career. You know, he won't be a star, but I think he could be a, you know, maybe a starter.
Hey, man, that'll get you a max contract in the NBA.
Yeah, and one of the best names of college basketball. If
oh,
not
yeah.
The best.
Oh, yeah. Chance Comanche, that's up there with Jake Desjardins.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Like, if we deal with any more injuries, like, if we go lower than six, we'll be like Duke last year. Like, Duke had, like, six scholarship players last year.
Really?
Or something. Like, six or seven. Like, they were short. And, like, you know, they had a lot of five-star recruits. We have, like, pretty much all five-star recruits, so, like, no one's going to feel sorry for us, you know.
I think this season is, if Trier is out for the year, I think the X factor is going to be Raleigh, and I just don't know if he's going to be able to tip us in the right, like, I just feel like he's not ready yet. I feel like he's not going to be ready to play. Like, it's going to take him, like, a year to, like, get his feet underneath him. I just don't feel like he's going to tip us in the right direction for the season to break well if Trier and Comanche are out for extended periods of time.
Yeah. It's going to be a... We'll see how the game goes against Michigan State.
We're definitely not a top 10 team, in my opinion.
Yeah. Like, if everything works right, I think we could be a top 25 team.
I think so. I think we're a top 20 team.
Yeah. Because we have talent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the talent's there. If you have
Lowry...
We're
just not deep. We're just not deep.
And Dusan's soft,
yeah,
subtle touch, like, just around the rim. Just
if we can have any shooting, like, a semblance of, like, a shooting, like, I don't know if, like, you know, we can hologram or, like, you know, do, like, a smoke and mirrors kind of, like, we have, a shooter on the court, then I think that our offense can be elite.
Elite?
Elite.
You think so?
Yeah, like, you can't get better at the 4 and 5 deep offensively than we have.
Like, you could almost dump the ball into Dusan and,
every single
and
time.
Expect to get, like, 1.3 points per possession almost.
Yeah, if he has like good enough position, like a good position mm-hmm. on the block, then yeah, feed him every single time.
Like, I feel like his touch around the basket is almost a. If he gets deep, it's almost a guarantee.
It's like over either shoulder.
It's like a 70% shot.
Yeah, and then now we have Lowry. Like, you know, he's shooting threes. He's good.
Oh, he's great.
He's great around the rim. You know, he has a, like a good jump shot.
I'm buying tons of Lowry stock.
Yeah, so
that guy is a stud.
We will see. We will see.
Tons of Lowry stock. All right, so UVA, little UVA basketball.
Yeah, I think that the game against Michigan State will be fun. Love Tom
Izzo. Oh, should we predict it?
I don't know anyone on Michigan State.
I'm gonna do some quick off the cuff research right now.
I'm predicting it right now. U of A win.
U of A win.
Yep. You know,
ooh.
Sean Miller has
look at your optimism.
Sean Miller has beaten Krzyzewski, the big dog, both times he's faced him. And I think that he gets the best of Izzo.
I think that we will lose.
That's
because
not fun.
I am a Debbie Downer.
I feel like this season can, like, kind of Sean Miller can have us rally around the seven guys, kind of like it's us against the world. Kind of like everyone's gonna, like, you know, we're a top 10 team. Now everyone's just gonna be like, oh, Arizona's lost it. Like, they've lost a bunch of, like, scoring and stuff. They've lost Trier. They've lost Denny. they've lost Ray Smith. Like, they've lost a lot of, like, you know, versatility, and they're going to, like, count us out. And I feel like we might start off a little slow, but we might be hitting our stride come...
But this isn't a Final Four team, though.
Like, you know, who's to say?
Who's to say? Us. We're to say.
But, like...
We're the experts.
But think about it.
Haven't you been listening to this podcast the whole time?
Like, you know, if there's 11 guys, which we would have if everyone was healthy, then, you know, there's some guys who aren't in the rotation. Every single person, like, in, like, all the scholarship players know that they are in the rotation and that they are going to get minutes every single game. They're not going to be... It's not a question of if I'm going to get into the game. It's how much. So I think that having a shorter bench is, at some points, an advantage.
Hmm.
Like, people can get comfortable. Like, we're not asking... Like, you know, the last guy off the bench, we're not asking him to do something that he's not comfortable doing because he's been in every game this year.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. But, like, but if one guy goes down, like,
we're
if
done.
One... Yeah, okay.
We're done.
Okay.
we're like, walk-ons are going to be playing.
Jake Desjardins. That's our guy.
Yeah. I miss Jacob Hazard already.
Oh, man. That guy's flat top hair.
I feel like...
Just
okay,
impeccable.
Like,
it was, like, better than Flat Top Johnson's almost.
In another world, I feel like Jacob Hazard could have played, like, a low D1 school.
Definitely. Like, but that's not what he wanted. He aspired to be part of something bigger. Like,
yeah.
Bigger than himself.
Like, he was... Oh, my God. I love the walk-ons. Like... You know,
huge fan.
Walk-ons are the best. Walk-ons make the team. Like, Max Sweep King, can't beat him.
No one can top Max Sweep King.
I feel like you, like, you know, kind of think about U of A basketball teams, well, at least I do, by walk-ons. Like,
by the quality of the walk-ons.
Like, there's David Baga era.
Oh, that's thrown way back.
Yeah, like, that was so great,
that's
though.
Way back.
Like, Josh Pastner era, John Ash.
Yeah.
Like... You know, because those are always the guys you see celebrating. Like, those are the guys you relate with, I feel like. Like, you don't really relate with the players.
But, like, I can relate to, because, like, that's what I would be doing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I were, like, you know, the walk-ons, you're like, if I, you know, watching the game, I'd be like, that's what I'd be doing. I'd just be in the jumpsuit, you know, just like, woo, like, pumping up the crowd and stuff. Like,
get the crowd on their feet.
Like, you know you're not going in the game unless it's a blowout, and then they want you to shoot shots. Like, what's better?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. That's what's better.
The life of a walk-on at, like, a major D1 program, can't beat it.
No. I mean,
you just get all gear. Yeah, you get all the gear, and I guess you have to, like,
and,
you know...
And just enough of the credit and none of the blame.
And, yeah, it's just like, you know, you have to practice against these future NBA players, but that it's not football. It's not like you're literally, like, you know...
It's not like you're a scout team that's getting drilled.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you're going against a 5-star center. Like, yeah, that might be tough, but... You're not, you know, you might feel it a little bit, but you're not going to, like, have a concussion for, like, weeks on end.
Is that what it was like for you back in the day?
No, dude, I delivered the hits.
Yeah, you were on the first team.
Yeah,
you're a first,
like,
team guy.
Yeah, baby.
Did you just kiss your biceps?
Yeah, baby. The guns!
Your biceps are inward. Like,
yeah.
Like they go in.
Yeah,
almost.
there's no muscle in them.
I think there's nothing left.
When I was in Chicago, I had to carry two deep dish pizzas for, like, a few blocks, and my biceps almost gave out. Two deep dish pizzas for a few blocks, and literally my arms were shaking.
You were shaking.
My arms were shaking.
It was like after a post workout, like you got a serious pump just from.
Yeah.
That's impressive, dude.
Yeah.
You've truly. Like, committed yourself to not working out.
Yep.
Like, you've really done the heavy lifting,
yeah.
Per se, in not doing any heavy lifting.
Yeah, it's really hard to be at the...
It's hard out here, man.
Yeah,
it's hard out here.
It takes a lot of dedication to be what I am right now.
Mm.
If anyone needs, you know, help
put
on weight, I can help.
You're the guy.
I know how to pack on weight. I know how to pack it on.
So, Dill, we're almost at an hour. Do you have any comments that you want to say? Just like a minute or two about the NBA or anything
okay.
that you've noticed?
Yes, I have. I think I have a new favorite player in the NBA?
Oh, do tell, my good friend.
Joel Embiid.
Never heard of him.
He is watching this man play, and granted, I have not actually watched the Sixers game. I watched the first game for a little bit against the Thunder when he, like, kept them in it. And, you know, they at the end of the game, when they're down, like, 1 or 2 points, they fed him. Like, he, you know, is kind of the offense. You know, he's he's a go-to scorer. But that dream shake he
dude,
had.
Dude, he is, like, oh Akeem, like, 2.0.
Oh, like, that was so sweet.
The
like,
guy is smooth offensively.
He's so smooth.
He's really good offensively.
And it's just, like, and he's, like, I feel like he's, like, the best, the perfect center kind of mold in like the current NBA. Like he can, you know, he can defend, he can block shots, he can protect the rim, he can, like, you know, handle the ball.
He's an athlete. He's just an athlete.
He can shoot threes, and I feel like he can just do everything offensively.
The guy, yeah, the guy's the guy's a star.
Like the best thing about that play, the dream shake play, is he's the guy that's bringing the ball up the court, and then he like you know, drives it down to the block, and then gives Inglis a little fake, like, with his right hand, and then just goes over the other shoulder. It was beautiful, and I watched a Bleacher Report video where, like, you know, it was kind of, like, mirroring him, like, with Hakeem, and, like, doing the same move, the dream shake. Pretty close. But, I just love the way he plays, and, like, the Sixers have been waiting for him.
Like this is the process,
this is the hit, along
with Ben Simmons, who I also think will be a hit. Like, these are the two hits that they're waiting on, and now, like, they can use these two guys to build around.
And
like a 4 and a 5 that you can, you know, take to the bank. Like, these guys are good.
Like, if Embiid's foot, you know, pray to God, stays healthy, and Simmons comes back, and now they're on the track to, like, you know, get another top 3 pick, you know, because, you know.
I think they have a winning game, right? Oh, man, I'm sleepy.
Yeah, I don't think they've won a game
yet. It's 11 right now.
And so, like, you know, maybe, I don't know, they get a point guard or something.
The makings are there.
Like,
but they have Nick Stauskas. I mean, come on, that guy is.
Sauce Castillo.
The guy's an NBA staple.
Okay, but, like, all I'm saying is just Embiid is great for the game.
I like that. That was a good little take on Embiid.
Yeah. I'm sold.
My quick take, the Lakers are going to be good. I think the Lakers are...
Like, playoffs this year?
No. They're not a playoff team. I'm saying, like, in the future, like, their future is bright.
Luke Walton, baby. He's revived Swaggy P's career.
He has.
Like, Swaggy
surprisingly.
P dropped 22 last game.
They got D'Angelo Russell.
Beat the Warriors.
They got, like, Randall.
They have Ingram.
This team,
Nance.
This team could make some moves by, you know, they could be something. I think the Cavs lost their first game today. I think the Cavs are really good.
At some point, I don't like the NBA just because I literally know how. Like, I don't need to watch the regular season.
Like, the Cavs are good.
Yeah,
they're making it to the finals.
The Cavs are in the finals, and then now there's some question of how good the Warriors are. But, like, I feel like, you know, come the playoffs,
Steph just hit 13 threes. Yeah. I think they're gonna be all right.
Like they're not as good defensively, but Kevin Durant is having the best. If he continues the way he's playing right now, he will have the best, like, true shooting percentage in, like, the history of basketball.
Like this team is 6-2, and Klay Thompson, like, can't hit a shot. Just wait until he starts getting into heat check games.
Like, yeah.
Like once he starts hitting, like, it's game over.
Like, ultimate, okay. The one person I'd have over anyone in, like, a one quarter and he's super hot would be Klay Thompson.
Give that man the ball, he'll shoot it anywhere and it's going in. Like, when he's hot,
like that 37 points he had in that one quarter, I forgot against whom, but
it
was a few years ago.
Pelicans?
I don't know. But and then that he single-handedly won the Warriors the Western Conference Finals against the Thunder. That game six performance.
Oh, all time. All timer.
Like, dude was unbelievable. Dude was
the guy couldn't
unbelievable.
Miss. Guy, and, he saved their season right there just so that they could lose to the Cavs.
Like he would catch the ball, not be looking at the basket, start shooting.
Like as he's turning.
Yeah, and he would like I feel like he never actually saw the basket.
He never like was square to the hoop.
Yeah, like dude, oh my god. Like he runs off screens like no other. Like perfect. Like he's kind of like the Ray Allen of screens.
And also the Thunder are better than I thought they would be.
Hey,
I still don't know if they're in that elite group.
Clippers, man.
Oh, that's right. The Clippers are good.
Clippers look good, man.
The Clippers look. God damn it, Dylan. Good prediction. Good prediction, Dylan. The Clippers look good. The Clippers look better than the Warriors.
Everyone always forgets about the Clippers. If they stay healthy,
They're gonna blow it. They're gonna blow it.
If they stay healthy.
They're going to blow it.
If they stay healthy.
All right, Dill. A great podcast.
Yep.
Great podcast on this election night. They should make election day a national holiday.
They should.
Like, why do I have to go to work? Like, all I'm doing is just checking to see what the polls are.
If the U.S. wants to change the way that we elect, they should just move it to the weekend.
Yeah, why does it have to be on a Tuesday?
Like, think about how many voters don't go just because it's Tuesday. Like,
ooh, people are leaving. Does that mean that Trump just won?
Did he?
It looks like people are. I'm just looking at this video, and people are just walking out of the Clinton headquarters, just crying. Oh, it's not looking good. Uh oh. The night's over. Donald Trump. Let's see if he can make America great again. He's not going to be able to make this podcast any more great than it is. Because it's already at a peak right now.
I think Donald Trump would endorse this podcast.
You think so?
I think we'd get bipartisan support.
I think we get love from both sides on this podcast.
I think Hillary would also
you think
support
so?
It.
I don't know if she's in the mood for listening to it about right
Joe,
about now.
Joe Biden would give us
a Joe Biden's a huge homie. Oh, it's all about Barack. Obama
yeah, Barack would too.
Oh, Barack is down.
Yeah.
What are the chances we get him as a guest on this podcast?
I'll work some angles.
Oh, yeah.
I know a guy.
All right.
I'll email him.
Yeah,
at whitehouse.com.
Yeah, G chat him.
Yeah. Hey, Barack, it's me.
It's B, your old friend. All right, Dill. It was great talking to you.
Yep.
Bear down. Stay thirsty, Americans. Why did I say that?
I don't know.
That doesn't make sense. I'm gonna stop talking.
All right. See you guys.
See ya.
And girls. And, bye, guys.
Yeah. Whoever.